This is HDN.
Sweet Tuesday morning came on your smile. All of my fears, they have left me.
Tuesday, October the 7th. This is Jamie and Lisa in the Beaver Bank Bunker. Welcome to the Halifax Daily News.
I'm going to start off by saying congratulations to one Deputy Mayor Darren Fisher.
Oh?
Yes, he has a new title along with Deputy Mayor. He is now the Liberal Party candidate in the riding of Dartmouth-Cole Harbour in the next federal election.
And he will do very well. Every once in a while, you get a politician that comes along that is just, you see everywhere. And you go, boy, he's everywhere. And he just does everything. He is like that. The last, you know who exactly I'm going to be talking about in terms of another politician who does that very same thing.
No.
Peter Stauffer. He
yeah.
was everywhere. You would see him, and if ever something happened, either in Ottawa or here, and they needed an official comment, Peter Stauffer would be right there. And so year after year, he was elected in because of who he was, not because of the party. And Darren Fisher, with his work on city council, he just seems to be everywhere.
Interesting. Tim Bousquet, formerly from the coast, he now has his own online newspaper.
Yeah.
Said that Darren Fisher has gotten where he is at by saying absolutely nothing. He's one of those politicians that is out and around. You see him everywhere.
Everywhere.
But you never hear him speaking out on issues. He's one of those, if I keep my mouth closed, everybody will like me types. And
it's working for me. I like the man.
believe me, I adore him. I mean, I've known him since he was a little shop owner in downtown Halifax. So,
you know, another person like that who fits in the category that I was going to mention is Steve Craig, who was in and around this area, always ran into him whenever there was an event. And this is years before he ever ran. He was just very passionate and still is about the community and about, you know, what goes on in the community.
Absolutely.
And the next thing you know, he runs for city council. Now he's there. And now we're getting tweets from him all the time. He doesn't forget the little people. And he is still looking out for his community.
He works very, very hard for the community.
And
absolutely.
And for every person like that, and I'm putting Darren Fisher in there as well, and I'm putting Peter Stauffer in there as well. For every politician like that, there are 100 politicians that just fly under the radar and just do their thing and get elected year after year and punch the clock. And it's those ones, those special people that you got to look out for. So I completely disagree with Mr. Biscayne there.
Okay.
Don't you?
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? Like I said, I have known Darren Fisher since he was a very young shopkeeper in downtown Halifax, just an entrepreneur with a dream.
Yeah.
And
Come on. He used to listen to Q and phone in all the time.
Oh, God, yes. Between he and his brother, we used to call them, it was the Fisher brothers. And we knew it was either Dale or Darren that was calling.
They were good in those contests.
They were fantastic.
They were very good in those contests.
He was reelected in 2012 with more than 70% of the votes. So, I mean, certainly he has mass appeal.
And maybe that's part of it. You know, it's like watching Big Brother. You say you can cut those people down all you want. The ones that fly under the radar, that just are there, that haven't really done anything. They haven't. Well, you know what? They have done one thing. They managed to stay in that house longer than you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more difficult to fly under the radar and not to piss everybody off and still do your job.
True that.
I think that's pretty damn tough. You know, there's an art to that.
Yeah. He does have some tough competition now because that seat, that federal seat, is held by Robert Chisholm for the NDP, who was an incredibly popular politician provincially here.
Yes, he was. Unfortunately, I think that the next election, and I still haven't revealed my political stripes. You think I have, but I think the next election is just going to be a big red liberal sweep. I think people even like Peter Stauffer, who gets in year after year after year, and people love the man, he might have to look over his shoulder, because I think people are voting for change. I think the Liberals are really, I just feel this rumbling that I haven't felt since I was a kid and we were talking Trudeau mania. I mean, it really, I can see a change happening. And I
really
think all the politicians, good or bad, that have any color other than red on their flag, they better watch it, because they might be voted out, and not because of what they do or don't do, but just because of the party that they're affiliated with.
Now, there is no denying that the Conservative Party still is king in parts west of Ontario, with the exception of British Columbia. People might be sick of Harper, but perhaps not sick of the party. I think it's going to be a much tougher game if Harper steps down before the next election and they put in a new leader.
I don't.
You don't?
I think that there is a whole untapped generation. And by untapped, I mean they've been eligible to vote for the last couple of elections, but mm-hmm. they've opted not to.
Right.
The quiet majority. Because baby boomers, hate to say it, you're all kind of, we're all getting old. And yeah, we'll still get out to the polls, but we don't necessarily control things anymore. And I haven't seen this once again since the 60s, where you had all of the baby boomers and the flower power people bringing Trudeau, like bringing this whole new wave of younger, even though he wasn't all that young, but younger politicians, you know, into the House of Commons. I think that's happening again. And I think it's happening right across the country. So you'll look at the big businesses and the big interest groups, and yeah, they're definitely still conservative, but there is this young, untapped people that share their information, not through Angus Reid polls, but online with each other through all sorts of, you know, not Facebook. Facebook is passé. I mean, anything that we finally have figured out online, it's passé for this generation.
That's true.
And they're communicating, they're organizing. And you watch, well, just look at what's happened in the past few elections that we've had around the country. What's the last one that we, well, New Brunswick.
Yes.
Gee, what party got in there? I mean, you can go right through all the by-elections. I think that's an indication of what is going to happen. And I think a lot of people that are very intelligent and think that they have their eye on what's going on politically are going to be very surprised by the next election. That's just my own thoughts, and I'm still not saying how I'm voting because I'm one of the old farts too, you know.
So authorities down in the States figure that they have located a homeless man in Texas who needs to be monitored and quarantined because he may have had contact with the lone Ebola patient in the U.S. The more this unfolds, the more this is sounding like a movie. It is unbelievable how this guy in Dallas, who is in hospital, apparently clinging to life at this point, made his way to the U.S. from Liberia and lied on his forms about his exposure to Ebola so he could gain entry to the United States, showed symptoms, presented himself at an emergency room at a Texas hospital, only to be given antibiotics and told, "You have an infection, go on home." He returned.
Yeah. Now, didn't these people even ask where he had just come from? Or let me guess, he lied to them as well.
Who knows what that, but...
And the moral of the story, kids, is if you lie, then people will believe you, no matter how bizarre the lie is. That's insane.
But I'm not sure where this homeless guy fits into the scenario. No. But he's considered to be one of the 10 people who definitely had contact with the man who is in critical condition.
Okay. A homeless guy who definitely had contact with him. I don't think they just passed each other on the street.
No, I have a
feeling this guy from Liberia may have had a few extra dollars in his pocket and said, "Hey, tell you what, you want to make some extra money there?"
Oh, God.
Well, but think about it. Why else would you just spot some homeless guy and go, "He's definitely one that I had contact with"? How do you know that? Because I stood there and enjoyed that good street music that he was performing, and I put a quarter in his jar. No, I don't think so. I have a feeling that there's a little bit more to it than just passing on the street. I'm sure he passed quite a few people on the street, and he's not fingering all of them. Well, so to speak, maybe that's...
I'm just going to let you just simmer in that one. Yeah, you're on your own.
I'm not going on with that. Sorry.
CBC is revisiting something that they did 21 years ago, and they're doing it with the new technology now, which is kind of exciting. I'm looking forward to this. 21 years ago, they did something called A Day in the Life. They shot it in March of 1993, and if you remember the show First Edition, that's where this special aired. We saw a bride walking down the aisle. We saw a baby take her first breath. We saw... at the time, opposition leader John Savage shaving as he was getting ready for work in the morning, that kind of thing.
Okay, so this is all local then?
This was all local, yeah. This was put together by CBC Nova Scotia.
Oh, okay. No, that's a completely different thing I'm thinking of. That's a great idea. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, this time around, it's going to be on October 17th, and it's up to us to show us our Nova Scotia. Whatever we're doing that day, take a moment and share it in picture or video. And it'll be 24 hours of shared experiences with, you know, basically a common theme being Nova Scotia. So more details will be coming out in the coming days as to, you know, how to submit. But, you know, just keep October 17th in mind and make sure that you're doing something kind of neat that day and you want to capture it on video.
Yeah, they did do something like this, but it was worldwide and they were using the internet. I think YouTube asked for your submissions and then they put it together. And that was a movie that they actually released as a movie, did they not? Like,
I thought so. It was making the rounds, yeah.
Oh, okay. And all the film festivals.
Exactly.
All right. No, I like the local aspect. I like that. That's cool.
Well, a billboard from St. Mary's University that's been put up near Sydney is pissing off a few Cape Bretoners. Cape Breton University says, nah, it's just a sign of the times. Don't get all bent out of shape. The billboard is just a plain maroon background bearing the message, "The right future is worth the drive to Halifax." And it's right on the main street that leads from downtown Sydney to Cape Breton University.
Why are they upset?
Well, because they're trying to steal our students away from Cape Breton, they are.
No, we're not. We're trying to stop them from going to Alberta is what we are. I mean, think about where everybody from Cape Breton goes. I think that we're just trying to intercept them. I don't think that we're trying to lure them away. They're leaving anyway. You know, well, look at the statistics. Not very many people stay in Cape Breton, you know, especially students.
No, that's right. And universities, the universities are struggling with a declining number of high school students that, you know, graduating across the province, and they're not choosing a university education. They're choosing instead to go to NSCC or just to say screw it and head out west.
And go to the rigs.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So
that's the thing. So Cape Bretoners, don't think that Halifax is trying to steal your kids. We're trying to keep them here in Nova Scotia is what we're doing.
Exactly. Well, forget about crocodiles and snakes. The real animal threat in Australia, wild pigs. At least if you're a camper. Campground in Western Australia over the weekend. A feral pig guzzled down 18 beer that had been left out improperly secured.
Now that's an Australian pig.
Well, and just like anyone who guzzles 18 beer, the pig got a little pig-headed and decided to start a fight with a cow, resulting in the cow chasing the pig around a car.
This sounds like a nursery rhyme.
Oh, geez,
I want you to say this in rhyming couplets. Can you do that, please?
Exactly. Middle of the night, these people are camping. They hear a noise. So they get their flashlight out, and they're shining it around. And
Of the night, they hear a noise. They look around. It wasn't the boys. They left their tent and started to dig and looked around, and it was a pig! The pig was soused. He's drinking beer. And then he tried to jump on a deer and mate with that stag, the horny little sow. And then he took on that big old cow. And, oh, I could see this really doing well. Oh, my improv's coming back to me.
Now, the pig was later reported sleeping off his hangover under a tree, but feral pigs are considered to be an invasive pest in many parts of Australia and also serves as a reminder to keep food and drink well secured while camping. Imagine had it been a drunk kangaroo, the story probably would have been a whole lot different.
Well, camping, I saw a drunk kangaroo. The kind you'd see locked in a zoo. I went outside. No. So that is it for this Tuesday, October the 7th, just 2 days away from John Lennon's birthday. What are you going to get me?
I don't know. I didn't know it was a gift-giving occasion.
How long have you known me? Of course, it's a gift-giving occasion. And to all those people in Edmonton who are listening who actually went to high school with me, yes, I will be donning my tuxedo as I always did when I was in school.
Perfect.
So it's kind of sad now because that was before he died. Now he's dead. Everybody just thinks I'm climbing on the bandwagon. Anyway, back again on Wednesday.
Until then.